I wish I was as cool as Sean. This is Classic Monk. You're listening to Guildcast.
Northern girl, just keep it light, 'cause you can't keep this girl like you can't keep the night, and we'll all leave this world. Northern girl.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this 86th episode of Guildcast for November 20th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean, and this show here marks the 2-year anniversary of Guildcast. I wanted to thank everyone who came out for our big anniversary parties that were this last weekend on Saturday and Sunday. It was just a lot of fun. We had a lot of just a great time, and I really appreciate everything that everyone did. Just as a general rundown of what we did do, we had Guildcast Trivia, which was amazing to me that so many people knew the correct answers. It was pretty much to see who could answer first. Grugio won the one on Saturday, and then Chio won the one on Sunday night. And then we also had Open Trade Racing, where the first person to open trade with me got a prize. I started on one side of the map, and then everybody else started up in the balcony area of Great Temple of Balthazar. And it was really a lot of fun. But what was really cool to me was seeing this giant rush of people just coming at me, you know, when I said go. I really should have taken videos of that. And then we had the emote races, where what I did is I did an emote, and then the first person to replicate that same emote won a prize. Again, that was another kind of a who could type the fastest kind of contest, but it was still pretty fun. I gave away so much stuff this weekend, including I think about 7 shards, probably about 4 or 5 ecto, about 50k in gold. 20k of that actually was courtesy of Princess of Glax. And then there was a ton of other greens and golds, some of those which were courtesy of Rory. So thanks again to everyone who showed up, everyone who participated in the events, and everyone who donated prizes. And here's to one more year, right? So this week, I'm going back to fanboy mode to talk about the new race included with Eye of the North, known as the Norn. I'll explain what they're all about and give you a clearer glimpse into their history and the skills that you can use in their areas. But first, a shout-out to the following people. The Republican Monk, Father Shabubu, Thor Monk, ex-Chaotic Good X, the Ranma, and Mr. and Mrs. Paulus from Gaming Under Influence. In update news, there was a skill balance that's actually still in the experimental stages as I record this. I'm sure by the time this episode releases, they'll have that all settled out. But what they usually do with these is, you know, for a week or two, they'll have kind of an experimental skill balance, and they want to see how it works out, and they monitor how things go with these skill balances, and then they also monitor the feedback that they get. Well, I'm really curious to see what they do with this, because many of the skills that they're working on balancing now are pretty understandable, and then there are some that are much needed, you know. But the only thing that baffles me is this thing about pets no longer counting as exploitable corpses. Okay, now what? I'm not going to turn this into another rant episode, although I easily can, but seriously, what? We got ghosts that bleed and burn, but you can't make a minion out of a lion? Huh? Okay, I better just stop there before I break out with the beeps again. In other news, there have been some recent promotions in the Guild Wars online store. First off, there's a new holiday promotion. For a limited time, when you purchase Eye of the North through the Guild Wars in-game store, or the online store as it's sometimes called, you'll get 50% off of any Guild Wars campaign. This includes the original Guild Wars Prophecies, Factions, or Nightfall. Also, there's the Skill and Item Unlock Packs that are sold in the online store. For a limited time, enjoy special introductory pricing of 50% off when you purchase any of the new Skill or Item Unlock Packs through the Guild Wars in-game store or plaync.com. Offer good from noon Pacific time, November 15th, 2007, to noon Pacific time, December 31st, 2007. These packs include a core skill unlock pack, one for each of the 3 chapters, one for Eye of the North, and a PvP item unlock pack. I'm going to put a link to that in today's show notes for a little bit more information on these. But what they are basically is a way for you to unlock skills in certain chapters, or they have the core skill ones, Eye of the North one, and they have the PvP item unlock pack. All these things you can get, skills and items, with your real world money, I guess you could say. And not exactly sure how I feel about that, but I just thought I'd announce it because it's there. And finally, there is now tons of Guild Wars merchandise sold on the Penny Arcade merchandise store at www.pennyarcademerch.com. Of course, I will put a link to that also in today's show notes. But what it is it's a way to buy things like posters, T-shirts. They have like a custom Guild Wars iPod and all this other stuff. They have T-shirts for each profession, like they have an Elementalist T-shirt, Ranger, all this stuff. So again, the link for this will be in today's show notes. And then the other things I mentioned, like the unlock packs and all that, there will also be a link for that. But you can also access this stuff from the login screen of the game client itself, so keep that in mind.
I need to talk to a Norn leader.
Norn do not have leaders, Dwarf. Only heroes.
Jorah, we can aid you and seek out allies. Let us help you with your burdens.
You have the spirit of a Norn, human. I am proud to call you friend.
So let's talk about the Norn then, shall we? I plan on doing many more of these shows, showcasing the new races of Eye of the North, and what are rumored to be in Guild Wars 2 also. There's even ones that we've already seen, like the Char, and the dwarves, and then we have the humans that are now in the form of the Vanguard. But these will each have their own show to explain their place in the Guild Wars world today, and also explain what their new titles and skills are all about. So I'm going to make a show for each one of these. Now, the Norn are a race of 9-foot-tall warriors who live in the northernmost Shiver Peaks. They revel in the harsh climates, leading dangerous lives among savage beasts. These mighty hunters are not organized into a single nation. Instead, those who display exceptional strength and prowess in battle establish homesteads, though they are certainly not considered rulers. They often spend years at a time tracking a particularly strong or clever quarry, and they never give up on battle, a pursuit, or a friend. The Norn revere the spirits of nature, from the wolf to the snow lynx, but the most powerful of these is the bear spirit, who, according to their myth, blessed the Norn with the ability to change shape and become the bear.
Bear is pleased with what we've done this day.
Pleased enough to help us?
I will continue to aid you.
I mean, will the other Norn help?
That is for each of them to decide.
Can't we just rally your people and raise an army to fight the destroyers?
The Norn do not use armies. We fight alone, as true warriors should.
But we helped you.
And I will help you, Dwarf. I will speak to the others. But whether they help or not is their choice, not mine.
It will take forever to raise an army, one Norn at a time.
The Norn do not need armies.
The Great Dwarf, save me!
You know, he is only worried about his people.
I know, but he must understand. Norn are not like dwarves or men. We fight our own battles, our own way.
I think I understand.
And that is why you lead.
So, my friend, will you gather your forces together to fight the destroyers?
I will gladly tell others what wonderful prey they are.
But will you gather an army?
Norn have no need of armies. We are Norn.
Great Dwarf, give me strength!
Olaf, it was a good hunt. My friend wants to hunt more, but he is not Norn. He needs more people to help.
Is that all? I know your king, little dwarf. I can send a message to him. Will that do?
Yes, yes, that will.
Now, as you can hear in this Eye of the North cinematic, Ogden is frustrated at what he perceives as the Norn's refusal to join him against the destroyers. But the Norn, in turn, don't understand the need to form an army. They are a race that believes in the concept of heroes, not armies, as Jorah said. They are all about proving your individual worth before they take you seriously.
How can I help you?
When you encounter the Norn NPCs near the Red Shrines throughout the explorable lands, you'll notice the first encounter requires a bit of a fight with them. Now, this is not to the death, but it's instead made to show your worth to the Norn before they will actually reward you with the reputation points. So let's talk a little bit more about these points. Norn reputation points can be earned by fighting Norn NPCs to earn their respect, as I mentioned, also killing foes and obtaining shrine bonuses while under the effects of Norn hunting party, which goes hand in hand with these NPCs, also doing quests for the Norn, completing dungeons in the Far Shiver Peaks, turning in at least half-completed Hero's Handbook or Master Dungeon Guide to Tyr the Scald in Gunner's Hold, and also, finally, there is the Norn Fighting Tournament that you can compete in, and I will talk a little bit more about that in detail in a second. Players who have reached rank 8 in the title, which is known as Slayer of Champions, that's rank 8, they can no longer accumulate Norn reputation points in normal mode. To achieve ranks 9 and 10, the points must be earned in hard mode only. Players who attain rank 8 in Eye of the North Allegiance title tracks in normal mode and rank 10 in hard mode receive a veteran buff when they speak to a bounty NPC. These buffs do not give reputation points, but instead award an allegiance bonus every 25 kills. Each new race in Eye of the North has a certain effect skill that gives certain bonuses when your character is within the boundaries of that race's lands. So for the Norn, this skill is called Heart of the Norn. This is a skill that it's not equipped on your skill bar, but instead it activates automatically when the character has the Norn title track selected in the title list of the hero panel. So you press H, you click on the Norn title track, which will be Slayer of something, and that will actually equip this skill, Heart of the Norn, but it only has the effects that actually work when you're in the Norn lands. So you can only really get this skill once you've achieved rank 1 of this Norn reputation title, which is called Slayer of Imps. This Heart of the Norn effect gives you additional health while in the Norn areas. It starts out as plus 53 health at rank 1 and grows to plus 100 health at rank 10. There's a few things to remember with this effect. This skill will affect each character's heroes as well. Also, henchmen will get this effect only when the party leader activates it. And also, Norn territory, which is where this effect is actually active, is considered the Far Shiver Peaks region. It includes all explorables and dungeons only during Norn missions. Now that's very important because if you're not in a Norn mission, then that same dungeon will count as the Deldramore territory. Also, there are other ranks of this title track that can unlock certain goodies, as with the other reputation title tracks as well. In Gunner's Hold, you'll notice 3 NPCs that won't talk to you until you achieve certain ranks. Well, they'll talk to you, but they won't give you anything. There's Aja, who is the consumables NPC, and she will be unlocked at rank 3, which is Slayer of Nightmares. And then there's Keddy, who is the weaponsmith, and he will be unlocked at rank 4, which is known as Slayer of Giants. And then there's Roddy, the armorer, who will be unlocked at rank 5, Slayer of Worms. This is usually what everyone achieves to at least get rank 5 so they can get that armor. One great thing about Eye of the North is the mini-games for each of these lands. For the Norn, this mini-game is called the Norn Fighting Tournament. In this mini-game, you have to fight against several familiar faces on a one-to-one basis. The arena itself is directly inside the city of Gunner's Hold. Your first opponent is chosen randomly from a pool of 6 characters. There are respectively 7, 6, 7, and 6 possible opponents for the second, third, fourth, and fifth round. In the final round, you will face Magni the Bison, or on very rare occasions, Palawa Jocko. I'm going to put a link to some of the great resources on this tournament, which includes, on the official Guild Wars Wiki, there's a list of the skill bars of every opponent you'll face. I mean, it names every single opponent, which are all Like I said, they're familiar faces. They're all heroes or henchies that we've faced before. And this list can be extremely helpful in countering these enemies. Also in this list are some of the special rewards you'll get when you beat certain opponents. For example, defeating Zandra and Kamu will unlock them as heroes. So previously to that, you can't get them as heroes. After defeating Zo, you receive Zo's journal. If you defeat the Great Zatuka with Zatuka's Great Horn in your inventory, he will replace the horn with Zatuka's horn, which is a pretty nice green focus item, and it's automatically customized to your character, and it assumes the requirement that you'll need, the attribute requirement that you'll have on your certain caster. There's also a really small guide in this wiki on winning the tournament. And what it tells you, I'll just read the whole thing because it's really short. They say, Menlo is a 55 monk with a permanent protective spirit. When you remove his enchantments, for example, with Gaze of Contempt, he cannot recast his protective spirit, and then he takes full damage. So consider using life-stealing skills to beat him in seconds. Also, using many ritualist spirits can be really effective for this tournament. Even if you're not a primary ritualist, you can still, you can become a secondary ritualist and throw in some spirits there. But some important ones to remember: bring Shadow Song for the fighters and Dissonance for the casters, and then of course Disenchantment for Menlo. You might also wish to bring Ursan Blessing, which I'll talk about in a second here, for many of the opponents that you'll face in the tournament.
You know what must be done. Go with the bear spirit.
I understand. Thank you.
You understand? Could you bring the rest of us up to speed?
Blood washes blood. To restore my family's name, we must retake my family's lands. These lands lie to the east and have been overrun by Char. We must slay them.
Killing Char? Count us in.
I thought as much. We must follow the bear spirit to her shrine. Then we will confront the invaders. We will restore my family's name. Blood washes blood.
So now let's go over the Norn skills. This is a group of 25 skills in your Norn title track that can be used by any profession without any attribute setup. The skills only become more powerful with the higher rank in your Norn reputation title. First we have Dodge This, which is a shout. For 12 to 20 seconds, your next attack cannot be blocked and does 10 to 20 additional damage. Finish Him, which is also a shout. If target foe has less than 50% health, that foe takes 20 to 80 damage and suffers from cracked armor and a deep wound for 5 to 20 seconds. I Am the Strongest, another shout. Your next 4 to 8 attacks do an additional 10 to 20 damage. I Am Unstoppable, another shout. For 12 to 20 seconds, you have plus 24 armor and cannot be knocked down or crippled. You Are All Weaklings, another shout. Target foe and foes adjacent to target are weakened for 6 to 12 seconds. You Move Like a Dwarf, another shout. Target foe is knocked down and takes 30 to 80 damage. When that foe gets up, it's crippled for 5 to 15 seconds. A Touch of Guile, this is a hex spell. Target touched foe takes 20 to 80 damage. If target foe is knocked down, that foe cannot attack for 4 to 8 seconds. Club of 1,000 Bears, this is a melee attack skill. If this attack hits, it deals plus 5 to 9 damage for each adjacent foe, maximum 60 damage. If target foe is non-human, it is knocked down. And then we have Feel No Pain. For 8 to 12 seconds, you have plus 1 to plus 5 health regeneration. If you are drunk while activating this skill, you also have plus 100 to plus 200 maximum health. Now, we have a set of skills that happen with the Elite Raven Blessing when this actually is cast. Once you cast the spell, your skill bar is replaced by 5 skills. So, Raven Blessing is described as when you take on the aspect of a raven, your energy returns to maximum and you have negative 2 energy degeneration. you have plus 60 to plus 100 maximum health and 10% to 30% block chance. All enchantments upon you are removed. Raven attacks replace your skills. You gain energy whenever you take or deal damage. This skill ends when your energy drops to zero. The five skills you get in this set are Raven Flight, Raven Shriek, Raven Swoop, Raven Talons, and Totem of Man, which is the spell that actually returns you to your original skill set. Now, there are actually two other skill sets like this Raven one. There's one for the Ursine Blessing, which is like a bear, and what you do is you take on the aspect of the bear. You don't actually turn into a bear like the Norn do, but you take the aspect of a bear. Your energy returns to maximum, and you have negative 2 energy degeneration. You have plus 10 to 20 armor, and plus 100 to 200 maximum health. All enchantments upon you are removed. Bear attacks replace your skills, and you gain energy every time you take or deal damage. This skill also ends when your energy drops to zero. Now, the five skills in this skill set are Ursine Force, Ursine Rage, Ursine Roar, Ursine Strike, and of course, Totem of Man. Now, the last set of these type of skills is called Wolfen Blessing, where you take on the aspect of the wolf. Your energy returns to maximum, and you have negative 2 energy degeneration. You have plus 60 to plus 100 maximum health, and 1 to 4 health regeneration. Wolf attacks replace your skills. You gain energy every time you take or deal damage, and this skill ends when your energy drops to zero. The five skills in this set are Wolfen Agility, Wolfen Bloodlust, Wolfen Claw, Wolfen Pounce, and of course, Totem of Man.
Bah! If they show up at my doorstep, I'll greet them with an axe!
My friends mean to say that these destroyers make for a challenging hunt.
A hunt? So why didn't they say so? Come, let's take the fight to them then.
Hey all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you, not the word on the street today, but skills and builds. I thought I'd do something different for a change. Before I start, I need to mention a few names. Lord Zaya, Lord Swedish, Easy Killer Easy, Oxymoronic Killer, Prince of Battle X, Narcotic Cabalist and his guild Charter Vanguard, and Grugio and his guild Imperial Shining Phoenix recently won a battle in the Hall of Heroes, and kept the favor of the gods for... Oh, wait, scratch that last part. They lose out on all that glory because of the new favor system, which is... Well, since this isn't the word on the street today, I'll refrain from saying exactly what I think of the current favor system. Anyway, it was good seeing everyone at the Guildcast's second birthday party. I got a chance to talk to a few people that I hadn't seen in quite a while, so that was nice. One person gave me a really cool present. It was a quest item called a Stolen Present, and it looked like this little wrapped present, which I think you can only get during Winter's Day. So that was awesome. I love those things because I use them for markers to note where to pull to or where to set traps down and things like that. So thank you guys for all of your little gifts. They were very kind. And to those of you who tried to give me mini pets, I'm sorry I rejected your presents. I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, but I would have felt bad taking your pets from you. So don't be offended, but thank you for being so thoughtful. Today I'm going to talk to you about conditions. A condition is a negative effect that gets put on you by a skill, and sometimes by the environment. Most skills that cause conditions are ones that the enemy casts on you, but a few can be self-inflicted, like the monk's draw conditions, which takes conditions from an ally and transfers them to you. In addition to causing a red downward arrow to appear on your health bar, each condition has a different animation associated with it. You can look at these different animations by going to the Isle of the Nameless and approaching the students of the different conditions. If you get close to them, they will transfer the condition to you, and you can see what the effect looks like. A character inflicted with bleeding will suffer 3 health degeneration, which is 6 health each second. Your health bar will change to a lighter color, and a red mist of blood will circle you like an enchantment normally would. A barbed weapon upgrade lengthens the duration of bleeding by 33%. If you are blinded, you will see a black inky cloud surrounding your character's face, and it will cause your melee and missile attacks to have a 90% chance to miss. Your projectiles will also have a greater chance to stray from their intended target. Projectiles are like arrows, basic wand or staff attacks, or spells that require you to have a line of sight in order for them to hit. Blind applied to a foe while its projectile is in flight will cause the projectile to miss. Conversely, if you remove blindness while you have a projectile in flight, it will cause the projectile to hit. A character inflicted with burning suffers 7 health degeneration, which is 14 health each second. Your health bar changes color, and you look like you're engulfed in flames. Cracked armor is a relatively new condition, and it causes you to have negative 20 armor. It uses the same animation as weakness. Weak. A character that is crippled moves 50% slower, and you can spot it really easily because it looks like your character is limping. A crippling weapon upgrade lengthens the duration of cripple by 33%. If you are dazed, it will look like little white bubbles are floating around your character's head. While dazed, your character takes twice as long to cast spells, and all your spells are easily interrupted. That means if you get hit by any attack, you'll automatically be interrupted. However, if you're dazed and get hit by an interrupt skill, any effects that are supposed to trigger on interrupt, such as distracting shots disabling ability, will not trigger. This is because the damage occurs before the interrupt. Dazed used to be called silenced, which is why the icon looks the way it does, and which is why a silencing weapon upgrade will cause a 33% increase in dazed duration. While suffering from deep wound, 20% of your health bar will be grayed out, even if it accounts for less than 20% of your health. It says that your maximum health is reduced by 20%, but it actually doesn't ever reduce your health by more than 100 points. So even if you have more than 500 health, you're still only going to be put down 100 hit points by being afflicted with deep wound. However, if you've got a bunch of DP and have lower health now than you normally do, deep wound won't actually kill you by itself, but it can bring you down to 1 hit point, and it can also give you a health deficit, requiring you to be healed for a certain amount before your health rises above 1 again. Deep wound also reduces direct healing you receive by 20%. Cruel weapon upgrades lengthen the duration of deep wound by 33%. A character that is diseased will have a green health bar and swirly green clouds and flies surrounding him. He will suffer 4 health degeneration, which is 8 health per second. Disease can only affect fleshy creatures, and it is contagious and will infect other creatures of the same type. With my friends in FOW, we used to get disease affecting us and then go around hugging each other so that the entire party was all had green health bars. Yeah, we were very strange. In PvE, it can spread from a human foe to a human in your party. In PvP, all characters aside from pets are considered to be the same type of creature. If you cast a spell causing disease as a necromancer, and that creature spreads it back to you, using Plague Touch, Plague Signet, or Plague Sending, while that creature is still close to you, will not cause the disease to immediately return back to you, even though it does meet the requirements of spreading. When Factions was released, and we were able to get a head start into the game, so this was very early, some friends and I went and did the quest Seek Out Brother to Psy. When we were given the Chalice of Corruption, one of my friends was like, no way am I drinking from that. But Loudon drank from it, and he walked around for a couple of days with that effect on him before he finally got around to completing the quest. Someone took a screenshot of him, because they had never seen it before, and they put it up on, I think it was the Guru forums, and they were like, WTF is wrong with this monk? Because there was Loudon with the disease effect on him while he was standing around in town. And despite what he may claim, smelling bad and having flies buzzing around you is not a sign of being enchanted with the aura of awesomeness. A character that has been poisoned will suffer 4 health degeneration, which is 8 health per second. Poison turns your character's health bar green, and when you walk, you trail an aura of green mist behind you. Like disease, poison only affects fleshy creatures. A poisonous weapon upgrade lengthens the duration of poison by 33%. Weakness is a condition that reduces the damage of your attacks by 66%, and all of your non-zero attributes by 1. It'll look like a white cloud is around your character's feet. Weakness does not apply to damage bonuses gained from attack skills. Heavy weapon upgrades increase the duration of weakness by 33%. Knowing what each condition does not only helps you determine what kind of damage you can do to your foe, but it also lets you know what is happening to you when you get affected by one. Being able to spot what condition someone has on them is a very useful skill to have as a monk. Sometimes people get weird conditions on them that aren't really going to affect them, like the healer gets blinded, so you don't have to worry about that very much. But you want to be able to spot them because, like, if you see a caster who's dazed, that's something you want to take care of right away, because a dazed monk could mean a dead party. The monk's core condition removal skills, and I mean core, like, non-campaign-specific skills, are draw conditions, mend ailment, purge conditions, purge signet, and the elite martyr, which is aptly named because it transfers all the conditions to you. The ranger has one core condition removal, antidote signet, but it only removes poison, disease, and blindness. It can be useful, though, because blindness is like a ranger's enemy. The necromancer has a few cores which not only remove a condition, but also cause damage to the enemy. Plague Touch transfers a condition to a touched foe, the Elite Plague Signet transfers conditions to a target foe, and the Elite Tainted Flesh only removes disease from your target, but foes then striking that target become diseased themselves. The PvP Primer describes a pre-made conditioning ranger, which uses Burning Arrow as its elite, Apply Poison, Screaming Shot, Throw Dirt, or you could substitute Pin Down, Whirling Defense, Favorable Winds, Troll Unguent, and Res Sig. The concept behind it is to overload a single target with health degeneration and spread poison to other targets. It says, this ranger inflicts a significant amount of pressure with rapid and sudden health degeneration. Unlike health degeneration hexes, bow attacks aren't susceptible to interrupts. Plus, apply poison can remain active all the time, meaning that every single attack by this ranger should be a threat. With marksmanship at 14, Burning Arrow lights a target on fire for 5 seconds and has a respectable damage bonus. Follow up with Screaming Shot and the target is poisoned, burning, and bleeding for a brief period of time. Tack on some Throw Dirt or Pin Down for shutting down enemy melee characters. Additionally, Troll Unguent and Whirling Defense counter a lot of attackers. While waiting for attack skills to recharge, this ranger can tab through enemies and hit them with normal bows for extra poison on multiple opponents. They describe the skill synergy and say, this build has 4 skills that cause conditions, making it hard to remove any single one. For example, if you use Pin Down on a warrior, follow it with Screaming Shot to cover the crippled with bleeding. Favorable Winds makes your arrows harder to dodge. Troll Unguent cannot be removed once it is applied, making it a powerful self-heal. Because of its long activation, however, it does suffer from the drawback of being easy to interrupt. Use Whirling Defense while activating Troll Unguent to reduce the likelihood that a physical interrupt such as Distracting Shot will hit you. Counters include Blindness, Anti-Attacker Hexes, Block or Evade skills, and Line of Sight Obstructions. That's one of the builds that they recommend for just jumping into random arena and starting to PvP. I've been using a Ranger Mesmer conditioning build in PvE, but there are some similar ones that you could use in PvP as well. This bar includes Burning Arrow, Distracting Shot, Savage Shot, Hunter Shot, Epidemic, Apply Poison, Troll Unguent, and Res Sig or Sunspear Rebirth Signet. Burning Arrow. This is an elite bow attack. If this attack hits, you strike for plus 10 to 26 damage and cause burning for 1 to 4 seconds. It costs 10 energy and has a 5-second recharge time. It's a nightfall-only skill, so the only place that you can cap it is from Admiral Chigan in Marga Coast. And as a little side story, when I went to go kill this boss, I was so surprised when he dropped his little vampiric shortbow that I picked up the green and warped out without capping the skill, which I'm sure everybody who has experienced capping things has done stupid things like that. So I had to go back and kill him again and make sure that this time I remember to cap the skill before I left the zone. Distracting Shot. It is a bow attack. If Distracting Shot hits, it interrupts target foe's action, but deals only 1 to 13 damage. If the interrupted action was a skill, that skill is disabled for an additional 20 seconds. It costs 5 energy, has a half-second activation time, and a 10-second recharge. It's a core skill, so you can get it from the Prophecy's quest Char Reinforcements, the Faction's quest Disruption, and from the skill trainers Captain Osric of Yak's Bend, Dak in Ember Light Camp, Michiko in Kaineng Center, Madondo in Yolon Haven, Sita from Gunner's Hold, and Yibbob in Ratasum. Savage Shot is also a bow attack. If Savage Shot hits, your target's action is interrupted. If that action was a spell, you strike for plus 13 to 25 damage. It costs 10 energy, has a half-second activation time, and a 5-second recharge. It's also a core skill. You can get it from the Prophecy's quest Blood and Smoke, from the skill trainers Tang Sao in Omnoon Oasis, Dak in Ember Light Camp, Masaharu in Saitung Harbor, Michiko in Kaineng Center, Yibbob in Ratasum. I just like saying that, Yibbob. And you can also get it from a hero skill trainer in Nightfall, in the Chantry of Secrets. Hunter Shot is, surprise, surprise, a bow attack. If Hunter Shot hits, you strike for plus 3 to 13 damage. If this attack hits a foe that is moving or knocked down, that foe begins bleeding for 3 to 21 seconds. It costs 5 energy, and it has a 5-second recharge. It's also a core skill. You can get it from the Prophecy's quest Endangered Species, and from the skill trainers Captain Osric in Yak's Bend, Dak of Ember Light Camp, Zhao Di in Xingjie Monastery, Tone in Kamadan, Sita of Gunner's Hold, and Yibbob in Ratasum. Epidemic is a mesmer spell. Transfer all negative conditions and the remaining durations from target foe to all foes adjacent to your target. This is a really nice skill because it is not linked to any particular attribute, so you're not missing out on any of its capabilities by not being a primary mesmer. It costs 5 energy, has a quarter second activation time, and 5-second recharge time. And it's a core skill, so you can get it from the skill trainers Tal Tosh in Greenwich Courthouse, Captain Osric of Yak's Bend, Dak in Ember Light Camp, Michiko in Kaineng Center, Akane in Senji's Corner, Zaitka in House Zuhelzer, Madondo in Yolon Haven, and you can also get it from the Hero Skill Trainer in Chantry of Secrets in Nightfall. Apply Poison is a preparation. For 24 seconds, foes struck by your physical attacks become poisoned for 3 to 13 seconds. It costs 15 energy, has a 2-second activation time, and a 12-second recharge time. It's a core skill, so you can get it from the skill trainers Captain Greywind in North Kreider Province, Ifaz in Beetleton, Master Scout Kira in Henge of Denravi, our good buddy Dak in Ember Light Camp, Zhao Di in Xingjie Monastery, Michiko in Kaineng Center, Madondo of Yolon Haven, Sita in Gunner's Hold, and Yibbob in Ratasum. And that's about it. You just keep up Apply Poison, interrupt using Distracting Shot and Savage Shot, hit running enemies with Hunter Shot, and spread around the love to a bunch of clumped up enemies with Epidemic. So that'll be it for me. This has been Lady Sinea bringing you Skills and Builds.
So that'll do it for yet another episode of Guildcast. If you'd like to contact me, it's Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com. And Lady Sinea is Lady Sinea, L-A-D-Y-S-I-N-A-E-A, at gmail.com. I may just do another one of these type of episodes for next time, probably for the Vanguard, since I love them so much. So look forward to that. So until that time, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.